another. With the name of love above all other. In every faith, a heart, a fallen brother can rediscover.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
And welcome to the Rediscover Hour, my friend. Good to be with you. Great to spend some time together talking about the good things in the church, following Jesus Christ, and watching the world change through the power of the Holy Spirit. We've got a great show for you today. One of the real positive points is that we come to you live from the Twin Cities. We're not on the East Coast today, where they're expecting the storm that's once every 100 years. And we might even get some updates throughout the show today on what's going on at the March for Life out in Washington, where hundreds of thousands of people have converged on Washington to march for life. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with the weather, because they're guessing that they're going to get up to 2 feet of snow, and that is historic. But I was talking to my wife, and we were saying, boy, that's too bad that they're going to get all that snow. And she brought up a good point. She said, you know what? It might be a blessing, because maybe the press will cover it. Maybe they'll take a look at virtuous young people who made the trek out to Washington and are marching through a blizzard for life. It's worth it, you know, and that might be a story in itself. And if you've got kids, you've got relatives that have gone out there to Washington, know that we're praying for them, and you join in and pray with us also. And Bishop Cousins is out there also. A lot of our people are in Washington, and it's exciting to see everybody come together. Well, we're going to be talking today about life. Yeah, we're going to talk about life, but we're also going to talk about a topic that I think a lot of people struggle with, particularly just weeks after Christmas and the New Year's. I think people kind of go into a slump a little bit after the holiday period, but then that slump sometimes can turn into anger. And I want to talk about that today. And maybe you struggle with anger, or maybe your spouse or someone in your family really has a hard time with anger. And maybe it's even concealed when you're out in public. You're one way, and you get back in your own home behind closed doors, and you become so angry. And we're going to look at this kind of from all sides today, and we're going to look at, is there good anger? Is there bad anger? Well, I think you know there's bad anger, but more to the point, is there good anger? Well, there is, and we're going to talk about that. And what are the causes of anger? Are there trigger points in your life that set you off, and are there things that you can do to avoid that? And if you do get angry, how do you deal with it on the spot? I'm going to go into all that today. And if you know of somebody that really struggles with anger, call them up right now. Tell them, tune in here to the Rediscover Hour here in Relevant Radio. And we'll jump into this, and we'll go into it. Hey, I want to give you a couple of updates on evangelization here in the Twin Cities. You know, I'm the director of evangelization and catechesis for this fine archdiocese, and we've got so many good things happening right now. I got to tell you, I met just yesterday with the Department of Schools, with Jason Slattery, and I met with our Latino department, and we got a great family office. We've got so many good things happening in the Archdiocese. And coming up in February 6th, the Wine Conference, that's our women's conference that we're co-sponsoring with Wine, Women in the New Evangelization, sold out. It's sold out. And that's going to be February 6th. I think they might be taking 100 more. But they will not have access to a lunch. I mean, they're just packed. They sold out. You got to get into these conferences early. And our men's conference is coming up February 27th at St. Thomas. And I'm telling you that now because that could sell out. And if you are interested in the men's conference, we're going to be doing something really special. Bishop Cousins is going to be joining us with a keynote. I'm going to be sharing the vision that we have all put together for the men's ministry in the Archdiocese, which I think is very, very powerful. Be the one in your parish that says, let's get a bus. Let's go down there. That's February 27th at St. Thomas in the morning. And you can find out all the information on our website at the archspm.org. But you be the one that organizes it. You be the one that makes the announcement in your church. We need your help. And we want to, you know, the women are sold out. And that's a message to us guys. We got to get on the stick and get our guys rallying down there. We are going to be focusing this year on the Catholic Watchman. It's a new ministry that's rolling out. We've been working with Bishop Cousins on this. It's exciting. We're teaching men how to be men of God. And we're going to initiate men on February 27th into what we call the Catholic Watchman movement. And these are men that are saying, you know what? I am going to be a man of God. And we're giving them seven things to do, some on a daily basis, some on a weekly, some on a monthly. And we're going to teach men how to pray. We're going to teach men how to read the Bible. We're going to teach men on how to examine their own heart. We're going to teach them how to pass the faith on to their children. And we're going to teach them how to evangelize. That's what we're doing with the Catholic Watchman movement. If you get the current Catholic Spirit, that award-winning newspaper, you'll notice that in the very center of it, there's a whole article that the Catholic Spirit put together, which is fantastic. They really captured the essence of this Catholic Watchman movement. But you know what? We need you. So I'm encouraging you. If you are listening and your husband is not, tell him about it. Go to the website. Get men to the February 27th conference that we're putting on. Pastors, we need your help because we're going to rally every parish and get a group of men that are going to be Catholic watchmen in every single parish. That's February 27th. Wine, February 6th, sold out. Men, February 27th. So we're going to talk about anger today. And I know that that so many people deal with anger, and it's one of those things that all of a sudden it just kind of comes out at you, you know, boom, it's there. And before you can even control it, you're out of hand, and you've said some things, you've done some things that, frankly, you regret, and you don't know what to do about it. I mean, how do you, and it's a pattern in your life. How do you deal with that? That's what we're going to talk about today on the Rediscover Hour. We're going to talk about anger. We'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. Remember to call up your friends. Tell them to tune in. Rediscover.
See the USA in your Chevrolet. America's asking you to call. Drive your Chevrolet through the USA. America's the greatest land of all.
Are you looking for a used car without the worry and big city dealers' hassle? Then come to Matt Sack Chevrolet Buick in Belle Plaine, where you'll find a great selection of GM-certified pre-owned vehicles. A GM-certified pre-owned vehicle comes with the peace of mind of a 12-month, 12,000-mile bumper-to-bumper warranty and coverage on the engine and transmission up to 100,000 miles. Plus, you'll save thousands over new. Make the trip to Matt Sack Chevrolet Buick in Belle Plaine and discover what many relevant radio listeners already have, that cars really are cheaper in the country. Find us on the web at sackchevy.com. At Matt Sack Chevrolet Buick in Belle Plaine, you'll like our attitude.
See the USA and see it in your Chevrolet.
GM certified, no worries.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Jeff Cavins with you talking about evangelization. Today we're talking about anger, but we're also talking about the whole pro-life movement. And people have gathered in Washington and joining us, taking a few minutes to give us an update on what's happening out in Washington from a local perspective, is Bill Deal. And he is with the Life and Family Office with Gene Stolpelstad. And Bill, how are you doing?
Great, Jeff. We're having a great time out here.
Is it? Has the snow hit you yet?
Not at all. There's a little storm when we came in. That's gone away now, and we're just waiting to see if this other one shows up.
Who's joining you right now?
I have Sam and Allie from Holy Family Catholic High School.
Oh, fantastic! Hi, Sam. Hi, Allie.
Hi.
Is this your first time out in Washington?
No, it's my third time coming on this march.
Fantastic.
My second time.
Fantastic. Bill, give us a synopsis of the the group from Minnesota that has gone out there. Who's gone out? How many people? And what are you doing today and tomorrow?
Bill had to step out really quick, but you want the synopsis?
Go ahead.
Yeah, synopsis of
the Holy Family
group.
Yeah, we have three buses out here. Plus, there's a group out here from Chesterton Academy and Providence Academy.
Uh-huh.
We spent yesterday at the mall. People did things like the Holocaust Museum and the Lincoln Memorial. Things that are very closely tied to our fight for life.
Sure.
Last night, we spent some time at a conference called Life is Very Good. How'd you guys like that conference last night?
I thought it was a great conference.
It was really inspiring.
The adoration, we had adoration, 4,000 high school students, some great music. And this morning, we are really excited to be here. Bishop Cuttins is with us, and he's given us some very inspiring words this morning. And we're really excited. Our hearts are a little torn, though. We're gonna have to leave before the Students for Life conference tomorrow, and that's always a highlight of the trip.
Oh, well, you know, they're expecting that weather to roll into Washington, but I think that it's actually going to be a news story to see all these young people who are willing to march, even in the midst of a blizzard and a storm. Maybe the press will pay a little bit more attention this year.
Jeff, you know what's great is I asked the young people this morning. We knew that a lot of dioceses have already turned around and gone back home.
Really?
They have. At least two of them that we know of for sure left last night and went back home.
Okay.
And I've been talking to our group leaders, and I asked our young people this morning, I said, we may not make it. We're gonna leave right after the march, but we may not make it through the mountains, and we may have to stay here and get stuck for a couple of days. And I said, should we leave now? And it was universal that they all wanted to stay.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Take the chance.
That's the Twin Cities for you.
There you go.
Our sports teams are not doing well, but our young Catholics are. That's good news.
Jeff, I can't tell you how inspired I am by these young people that we've had with us. They've been sharing testimonies with us, stories with us, and taking leadership from the time we've got here.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, I know you guys have a busy schedule. We'll let you go. But thanks for taking some time just to give us an update on what's happening. It's nice to know you're staying there. And Bill, tell everybody that we'll be praying for all of you, and you represent us, and we're one with you in solidarity.
Jeff, we really appreciate those prayers. I know our bus drivers appreciate those prayers.
All right, thanks. That's Bill Dill from the Office of Marriage and Family, and he's got three buses out there at Washington, and you heard him. He said some of the dioceses are going back, but our people are going to stay, and they're going to go ahead and march on Washington. So pray for them. That's exciting. By the way, we are live right now on Periscope. I don't know how many of you use that, but it's an app that you can put on your smartphone, and we're live on video with the show, Periscope. You can get that app, and it's Relevant Radio, but we are Rediscover Faith. Just look at Rediscover Faith on Periscope. Well, turning to our topic today, what we want to talk about is anger. You know, anger is so common in our culture that we have names for the outbreaks of anger. We have names like road rage. You know, these are things that 30, 40 years ago, nobody even used these terms. Road rage or losing it, you know. There's all kinds of these terms. And we've all seen the parent who stands up at their child's football game and starts screaming at the ref. And you have to ask yourself, what do you think the parents are trying to accomplish? Or somebody who's yelling in the middle of traffic, what is actually happening in their heart and in their minds? I think that sometimes people act out their anger by passive-aggressive behavior. In other words, they act like they are calm, but underneath they are so angry, and they may express it by not doing something you want them to do. And repressed anger often leads to some serious problems, both psychologically and even physically. The doctors tell us that when you repress your anger, it gets built up and it comes out in very unhealthy ways. Broken relationships, maybe people have even lost a job because of some anger that just suddenly spilled over. Anger stirs dissension. I'm going to give you some scriptures today, and I wouldn't normally just give you scriptures on this show, but I think that it's good that if you have a chance to write these down, or you can go back and listen to the rebroadcast, you can meditate on some of these scriptures and allow God to minister to you. Proverbs 29:22 says, "A man of wrath stirs up strife, and a man given to anger causes much transgression." Well, the problem with anger is that when we don't understand it, It can literally control our lives. And what I'd like to talk to you about is both good anger and also bad anger and how to tell the difference between the two. But first of all, let's cover this. What is anger? You know, I just got back from Ireland about, I don't know, what was it, seven weeks ago. And, you know, I have an Irish descent myself. And sometimes people will say, well, I get angry all the time, you know, and I can't help it because I'm Irish. Well, Irish has nothing to do with being angry any more than German or Lithuanian or Ethiopian. Anger is an emotion, and it's an emotion that every single one of us possess. Every single one of us have experienced anger. It's an emotion, and many times it rises up within 1 to 3 seconds, literally, which tells us that we must learn to get on top of it quickly. Because when anger rises up very quickly, this emotion, it causes a physiological reaction which is sustained by hormones, doctors tell us, for about 30 minutes. And that's why we tell each other, you know what? You just need to cool down. You need to just get alone and chill. Because we know that the minute we become angry, it has a residual effect for about 30 minutes in our lives. And that's why it's good to know yourself and how you get angry. The principal passions, the Catechism tells us, this is very interesting, the Catechism tells us in paragraph 1772 that the principal passions are love. We all have these principal passions of love, hatred, desire, fear, joy, sadness, and anger. We all have them. They are called the principal passions. We all experience love. You know, from time to time, we even experience hatred. We have a hatred that rises up, or desire, or a fear. We all experience fear of various kinds, joy, sadness. But what we're talking about today is anger. We all experience anger to one degree or another. It goes on and tells us in the next paragraph of the Catechism, that would be 1773, that in the passions, as movements of the sensitive appetite, there is neither moral good nor evil. What does that mean? It means that the love, that this principal passion of love and fear and joy and sadness and anger is neither morally good or evil. It is just what it is. There's anger. It's not morally good or morally evil. But the Catechism goes on and says in the very next paragraph, that would be 1774, that emotions and feelings can be taken up in the virtues or perverted by the vices. In other words, when we talk about anger, anger can be taken up in the virtues, and it can become a very positive thing in our lives. As it says in Scripture, Jesus was angry. You know, he was angry when he was in the temple. And in another place, the Bible says, be angry, but sin not. So if the anger is taken up in the virtues, in other words, virtue controls anger in your life, this can become a very good thing. But if anger is perverted by the vices in our life, well, then that's where we have bad news. That's where we really get into trouble. So I want to encourage you today that if you do experience anger, number one, you're normal. you are living and you are acting the way God created you. If you experience anger from time to time, now it's whether virtue is going to influence that anger or whether vice is going to influence that anger, whether it is something positive or whether it's going to be something negative. You know, in the Bible, in the Old Testament, Jeremiah talks about the fact that God has anger. That's right. God has anger. In Jeremiah chapter 3, go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return, faithless Israel, says the Lord. I will not look on you in anger, for I am merciful, says the Lord. I will not be angry forever. Only acknowledge your guilt, that you rebelled against the Lord your God and scattered your favors among strangers under every green tree, and that you have not obeyed my voice, says the Lord. Return, O faithless children, says the Lord, for I am your master. I will take you, one from a city and two from a family, and I'll bring you to Zion. So it talks about anger, and also the scriptures talk about being angry and sinning not. I mentioned Jesus in the temple. He was angry over what was happening in the temple, but he didn't sin. John chapter 2. The anger that we experience that is a good kind of anger is an anger that is designed to motivate us. This is important. You got to get this. This what I'm about to tell you right now could unlock a mystery in your own life as to why are you always getting angry with your husband, or why are you always getting angry with your boss, or why do you get angry when someone suddenly swerves in front of you on the highway at 494? Well, the anger is designed to motivate us to correct the wrong. That is what anger is designed to do. It's a principal emotion that we all have. And when you experience anger, there is either an injustice or a, get this, wrongly perceived injustice against us. So anger is designed to motivate us to correct the wrong, the injustice, and to do right. And anger is also to restore, just to motivate us to restore broken relationships. It's not designed to motivate us to be destructive in our relationships or destructive to things. Anger, this is beautiful. Listen to this. Anger is evidence that we are made in God's image. Anger is evidence. Now don't run ahead of me now and start to say, wow, finally, I got somebody that agrees that when I have those three beers and I blow up, I'm okay. I didn't say that at all. I said that anger is evidence that we are made in God's image. It demonstrates that we still have concern for God's justice and righteousness, even in our fallen state. So that guy that swerves in front of you on the road, what's the just thing? Well, the just thing is that he should not be swerving and endangering people's lives. He may be drunk. He might be impaired. And that should be corrected. And he did it in front of you. And suddenly you got angry. Well, that should tell you something. Yeah, there's an injustice that should be corrected there. But how do you handle it? How are you going to handle that injustice? To see a person angry points to the evidence that we are more than mere animals. So think about this last week or so in your life, or the last month, and the times that you have gotten angry, or the patterns that you start to perceive in your own life when you get angry, and dissect it a little bit and look at why. Was there an injustice that was committed towards you, or an injustice that was committed towards your wife or your children, or some innocent bystander, and all of a sudden you just anger rose up inside. You think, I'm going to get out of the car and I'm going to do what? I'm going to make this thing right. See, that's what you're trying to do. That's what anger is for. But if you get outside of your car and you start running after that other driver, it's not the way to handle it. And you might find yourself in some serious trouble, even though the anger was an alert to you to bring about justice. So the purpose of anger, what is God's purpose in human anger? Anger is designed to motivate us to take right action when wrong is done or injustice. So there is a good anger. How many times do you watch the news and you, well, I'll just give an example. Just recently, ISIS destroyed the oldest monastery in Iraq. They demolished the oldest monastery in Iraq. I looked at that story on television and something rose up inside of me. You know what? I'll be honest with you. I was angry. I was angry. Why? I've never been there. I didn't build it. I don't have any stock in that ancient monastery, really. But there was an injustice done to our history and our heritage, and it got me angry. And I thought, well, what could I do? There's a number of things I could do. I could get on a plane and go over there and find out who did it and bring about justice myself. Or I could pray for these people and offer up that suffering in union with Christ, which is something I'm going to be talking about in just a little bit. But maybe you've watched news, a news story. The current situation where people are marching in the streets for Black Lives Matter. They're angry. And why are they angry? They're angry because they perceive an injustice and they want to see it change. They're angry. And the response on your part should not be one of just being critical, but one of understanding the anger of people and maybe even praying for them that justice would be brought about in those areas, in those situations where there was an injustice. Put yourself in their shoes and ask yourself if you would be angry. I would be angry if somebody had shot my daughter and I felt like she was totally innocent. I'd be angry and I'd have to deal with it. Let's say that your home was robbed or your spouse was injured by a drunk driver. Would you be angry? I'll say you'd be angry. Would it be wrong to be angry? No, you're created that way. But remember what we mentioned just a moment ago, the anger is a signal that an injustice has taken place, a wrong needs to be corrected, and you're experiencing the emotion, which means God may be calling on you to make it right. But you have to make it right in charity. You have to make it right in justice, in kindness, and not tearing down people. Not ripping them apart, but bringing about justice. Psalms chapter 4. In verse 4, in Ephesians 4 says, be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. That happens a lot to married couples who get into some kind of argument or fight right around dinner time. One of them perceived that there was an injustice here. They didn't get what they thought was coming to them. And they got into a fight. And the fight led to a cold evening. And then they went to bed and they let the sun go down on their anger. They didn't do something about it. And that's what anger is there for. It's to bring up, you know, what I feel violated. I feel there's been an injustice toward me. That's when you got to communicate. Say, you do? I am so sorry. Rather than turning away from one another in a cold, silent evening. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Let me give you one of the best examples I know of a woman who dealt with her anger. She dealt with her anger in the best way that I know of. You know the story. You've heard the story. And we're going to take a break. When I come back, I'm going to tell you this story that I think is one of the greatest of a woman who had a great injustice take place in her family. And she responded by correcting the situation and doing something positive with her anger. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins. We'll be back in just a moment.
Rediscover. Father Simon Says on Relevant Radio.
This is a letter from Nick. I was just wondering if you have any book suggestion to read for Catholics. I just got back home to the Catholic Church. Nick, welcome back. And it's fun to read some of the stuff that the saints wrote. I always think there are three testaments. There's the Old Testament, the New Testament, and the lives of the saints. That the lives of the saints, and especially what the saints wrote themselves. You know, this idea of the communion of saints, I think it's the big thing about Catholicism. We read in Romans, the 8th chapter, that God wants his son Jesus, his only begotten son, to be the first of many brothers and sisters. And we're adopted by God. And Jesus said, what I have done, you will do greater things. And we see that fleshed out, this family of God, working for the redemption of humanity in union with Christ. We see this worked out in the family of the saints. So get to know the saints.
Have a question? Give us a call.
Father Simon Says.
11 Eastern, 10 Central on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins. Today we're talking about anger, and we're talking about good anger and bad anger. We have learned so far in our little discussion today that anger is one of the emotions. It's one of the principal emotions that we all experience, and that it's neither morally good or evil in itself. But if anger is taken up in the virtues, it can become a very positive thing. But if it's taken up in the vices, it can become a very destructive thing. And I would guess that many people, at least that I know, including myself, oftentimes err on the side of anger was taken up in the vices. It was selfish. It was mean-spirited rather than I'm going to do something positive about this. And I'm mentioning to you that the reason that we have anger, and anger is a sign that we're created in the image of God. God experienced anger. Jesus experienced anger, but didn't sin. It's a sign that we're created in the image of God, because when we experience anger, the purpose of it is to make a wrong right and to bring about justice when there is injustice. Like the example I want to give you now, I mentioned it prior to the break. I don't know if you've ever heard of Candy Leichner. Candy Leichner, maybe the name Candy Leichner is not familiar to you, but what Candy did with her anger in her life is familiar to you. And I'd be willing to bet on that. I would. She was shocked one day, Candy Leichner, when a drunk driver killed her 13-year-old daughter, Carrie. Now put yourself in her shoes for a moment. Would that make you angry? Would that make you angry if a drunk driver killed your daughter? I guess it would. Man, that would make me angry. And would I be a sinner because I was angry? No. It's called normal. And if you weren't angry and your attitude was, well, you know, we can have more kids, that's plain weird. But it's normal to be angry. Well, when the judge gave the drunk driver a light sentence, she was hurt, she was angry, and she turned that anger and she turned that hurt into a national movement to correct the problem. And you know what that national movement was? MAD. Mothers Against Drunk Drivers. She turned her anger into something that could correct the injustice. What was the injustice? The injustice was that a drunk driver stole, robbed her of her daughter and her daughter's life. And she could have gone out and she could have hired someone, a hitman, and taken care of that guy. She could have done a lot of things that would have been illegal and wound up in prison. But she didn't. Her anger was not taken up in the vices. Her anger was taken up in the virtues of correcting the problem. And she has saved thousands and thousands of lives because of the suffering that she went through and recognizing that that anger was an opportunity to correct the injustice. It's an amazing story. I also think of, you know, you've seen the show America's Most Wanted, where a father turned the death of his son in the hands of some killer. He turned that situation into a television show and started to help other families. He brought about justice when there was an injustice that took place. You see, anger signals you that something serious needs attention. Something serious needs attention. But let's go to the other side of the coin for a minute, shall we? That's positive. But I'm not saying that I always experience positive anger, and I know you don't always experience positive anger if you're anywhere near normal. We do struggle with it at times, don't we? Because it's one of the principal passions, and it can go either way, and it depends on the day we're having. It depends upon the triggers. It depends upon whether you've been drinking. It depends upon whether you've been sleeping appropriately, eating correctly. It depends on what's happening at work. This could go either way. That's why we have to be vigilant. There's a bad anger, and this is the result of frustration. Bad anger that's taken up in the vices is the result of frustration. It's the result of unfulfilled desires in our life. A bad mood, poor health, something that has just inconvenienced you in your life. I'll give you an example. You might blow up at your spouse because he or she forgot to pick up the steaks on the way home from work. You called them or you texted them and said, honey, could you stop by the store and pick up something for dinner? I'm so tired today. Oh, yeah, honey, I'll do that. Don't you worry about it. I'll do it. So what do? You take a nap. You think, man, I've got a good husband. He's going to pick up the food on the way home. And 5:30 rolls around. Your husband is in the garage. You hear the garage door coming up and then coming down. And you kind of wake up and you go out and you're looking forward to seeing your husband, and he's got the steaks and a few other things. And you said, well, where's the steaks? Oh, I forgot. And what do? You might blow up. Is that positive? No. It's very much self-centered. It's very much focused on your inconvenience. And that's where we go wrong. When we blow up because of self-centeredness, selfishness, we're being inconvenienced. We feel that we've been disrespected, or as we say, you dissed me. Well, the fact that someone disses me does not give me permission to act in an unholy way and to have negative anger. I can offer that up. I can take it. I can absorb it. I'm a big boy. I'm a follower of Christ. I don't need to blow up over the fact that somebody forgot to bring the steak home because their life is busy too. Might be an opportunity for you to have a wonderful evening and go out. Here's another example. I got a kick out of this one day. I was at one of the grocery stores in the Twin Cities, and I was standing behind someone, and they handed their credit card to the person, to the cashier. And the back of the credit card, you know where you sign your name? Well, they didn't sign their name. They put on their CID. In other words, identification. So they handed the credit card to the cashier. Cashier looks at it and it says CID. So they said to the person in front of me, I need to see your ID. And the person in front of me blew up. They said, what do you mean you need to see my ID? I shop here all the time. This is disrespectful. Blah, 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 blah. And the lady said, look, you're the one that wrote CID on there. Oh. And that's so funny. We just feel so dissed, you know, and we feel so disrespected and that an injustice has taken place. And sometimes we even bring it on ourselves. We cannot use anger for our selfishness. We have to distinguish between sinful and righteous anger. God's anger is not vengeful. So how do you know if you're experiencing bad anger? Well, in good anger, there's always a wrong perpetrated. Sometimes I get so angry that I cannot pronounce these words. In good anger, there's always a wrong perpetrated. In bad anger, get this, there is always a perceived wrong. There's always a perceived wrong. And maybe you are wronged. But this is where Christianity separates us from the rest of the world. Maybe you were wronged. Maybe you were wronged. But it doesn't give you any kind of license to be disrespectful or to blow up. We have a way of dealing with this, don't we? We have a way. So, good anger, there's always a wrong perpetrated. In bad anger, there's always a perceived wrong, and the perceived wrong is in your mind. It's your perception. It's your perception. I like what one guy said in a book. He wrote a wonderful book about relationships, Gary Chapman. He said, speak when you are angry, and you will make the best speech you ever regretted. Isn't that a great quote? Speak when you are angry, and you will make the best speech you ever regretted. Your job in an instant, when you feel anger coming on, your job in an instant is to distinguish between the two, good anger, bad anger. Is there truly an injustice here that demands that I step up to the plate and correct this? Or have I been inconvenienced? Have I just been dissed? Did some guy driving home from work who doesn't even know who I am flash me a sign that he didn't like me? Let go of it. It isn't worth the blood pressure. It's not worth you taking a chance on getting into an accident. Your family deserves better when you come home than letting that guy or that gal in the car next to you dictate the next 6 hours of your life. So, what are you going to get angry about? Have you ever thought about that? Do you have a list? What are you going to get angry about? We need to train ourselves to not get angry about the small things, but the things that really do matter and that we can change. So, when you get angry, you need to do a little bit of triage. So, can anger be controlled? Yes, it can. Anger can be controlled. Have you ever noticed how society celebrates venting anger? We don't encourage people to vent compassion, do we? Just let that compassion go. Just let it go. It seems so, you're all pent up with compassion. Let it go. We don't hear that. But we hear people saying, you're so angry, just let it go. In fact, you can even join clubs where you can sit in a room and scream and scream and scream. I've never done that. I don't know if that really helps a whole lot, but it tells us that the world is trying to find solutions to anger. James says, St. James says, be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Slow to anger. What do you mean, slow to anger? Jeff, I can't control it. It just comes on me. You can control it, my friend. You really can. It even says this back in the Old Testament in Exodus 34, that we should be slow to anger. The Lord is, God is merciful, God is gracious, God is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. A couple of other scriptures real quick. Proverbs 14, a man of quick temper acts foolishly. Oh, you know what? The majority of you are in the car. You know, you're in the car. You want to be quick to anger in the car? You're going to act foolishly. But a man of discretion is patient. Be not quick to anger, Ecclesiastes says, for anger lodges in the bosom of fools. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. So emotions can be controlled. Remember, anger is a principal emotion. It's like desire. It can be controlled. Emotions can be controlled. We don't complain that we couldn't help but be joyful or filled with gratitude. Someone says, you're so filled with gratitude. I can't help it. I cannot help it. I just am so filled with gratitude, I can do nothing about it. Well, yes, you can. We can control the emotions. You never hear someone say, you better watch it. One day, you're going to just explode with gratitude. Here's a funny thing, and maybe you've done this at home, and I know I have. I raise my hand, guilty. A fight breaks out at home. The phone rings, and here I am. I'm arguing with my wife about something, and she's arguing with me. Most of the time, I'm wrong, but because I know she's listening. But we get into an argument. We get into an argument, and we might be raising our voices at one another. Then all of a sudden, the phone rings, and I pick up the phone. Gavin's residence. Wow, did Jeff change quickly? Well, you know what Jeff did? Jeff controlled himself very quickly, very quickly. And the truth is, you can too. With your children and in marriage, you can control yourself very quickly. Proverbs 29 says, a fool gives full vent to anger, but a wise man controls it. A wise man controls it. So I want to encourage you to harness your anger. Harness your anger. And I can give you a few steps on how to do this. But before I give you a few steps on how to do that, can I just share with you a little bit about some trigger points? You can pay a lot of money to go in and talk to someone about anger, or you can just stick with me here for the next few minutes. And I'll tell you this, there are trigger points in all of our lives that if we're honest with ourselves, we put ourselves into situations where anger can be fully vented very quickly and out of control based on trigger points. What do I mean by that? Well, you know yourself. Get to know your trigger points for bad anger. It might be criticism. Do you get angry when people criticize you? If you know that, you need to be on the defensive. You need to be on the guard. That if you get criticized at the board meeting, you bring up an idea and everybody ignores it, that typically you get angry, you have to be prepared. What about hormones? When hormones fluctuate, you can sometimes get very angry, very, very angry. And I think that goes for both men and women. Or if somebody is late, you're going to go out for a date tonight with your spouse, and you say to me, Jeff, I am the guy that's always on time, and she is always late, and you know that's a trigger in your life, then you need to be careful. And you need to decide ahead of time what you're going to do when you're supposed to leave at 20 to 7 and your wife is still getting ready at 10 to 7. You need to make up your mind that this is not an injustice that you need to wreck the night over. It's not worth it. And if you go after it, you know what that's called? That's called selfishness. Drinking. There was a study not too long ago out of Harvard that studied over 700 men for over 70 years. Look it up. You look it up on Google, you'll find it yourself. And they have been studying these men for 70 years, and the question was, what makes you happy? And they found out that there were two common denominators that really spoke to the issue of happiness. One was, do you have relationships? After 70 years, and there's only about 17 guys in the study now, they're all in their 90s, they said relationships, good relationships was key. And the second was this, alcoholism, if it isn't the root of all evil, is close. Do you know that drinking can change you? And if you have a couple glasses of wine or you slam down a couple of Manhattans, and you get angry every time, I've got some advice. Stop. Stop. If that's a trigger that unleashes that passion in you so easily, and everybody else recognizes it, be man enough to stop it. Be a strong enough woman to say, I'm not doing this anymore. This I cannot control. And this compromises my relationships. What about financial problems? I know a lot of people that when financial problems, that's a trigger point, they become angry. Stress, diet, sweet things don't always translate into sweet disposition. It can change you. Lack of sleep. Unfulfilled expectations in a relationship. How about poor customer service online? You call up customer service and you get this if you have a problem with your computer, press 1. If you have a problem with your spouse, press 2. If you're frustrated with me, press 3. You press that thing. Become angry. Well, you got to know yourself. Know yourself. So here's what I would recommend you do. We have a few more minutes. Let me just give you a couple things that I try to think about and to deal with this from a Christian perspective. Number one, when anger rises up, you have to get to the point very quickly whether this is good anger and it's an injustice that you should correct or get involved in, or whether it's bad anger, it's a personal slam on you and you're going to respond and try to correct that negatively. So number one, pause. When anger comes, pause. Take custody of your heart. Take custody of your mind. Take custody and control of your emotion. Rule your spirit. Restrain your immediate response. 1 to 3 seconds, remember? 1 to 3 seconds, that anger can just blow up and stay with you for 30 minutes. So pause. You might even just say, I'm just going to count. I'm going to count to 10. And if it's really bad, count to 20. If it's really bad, count to 1,000. But number two, consciously acknowledge your anger. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm angry. You can say that to yourself inside. Count to 10. Get under control. Remember, the sin of anger is against will and reason. Locate the focus of your anger. Locate the focus of your anger. Identify what specifically about the other person or situation bothers you. Is it a good anger or a bad anger? Good or bad anger. That's what you need to determine. What needs to be accomplished? If there's nothing that you can do about the situation, drop it. Drop it. Give it to the Lord. Offer it up. But if there's something that you legitimately can do to correct this situation, guess what? God may be giving you an opportunity. And that's what the anger is alerting you to. I have an opportunity to do the work of God here. This is fantastic. And then analyze your options. What can you do? Take constructive action. Take constructive action, like the lady that started MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Drivers. And then turn it over to God and offer it up. Offer it up. Well, boy, I tell you, the hour has gone so quickly today, and I wish we could talk more about this. But, you know, in praying about these shows and what we're going to talk about, I just felt so strongly about talking about anger today. And maybe you're sitting there in the car right now saying, well, I'll tell you why, because you were talking to me. And praise the Lord for that. So go throughout the day today and be aware of that anger in your life, and whether it is an opportunity to bring about justice or whether it's just a personal attack on you and you're going to offer up the vices and get yourself in a whole lot of trouble. But if that anger is submitted to the virtues, you can do something. You can do something with that perceived injustice or that real injustice in your life. Perceived injustice isn't worth going after, but if it's a real injustice, go after it. Bottom line, live your life as Jesus did. Live your life with that that love and that mercy and that compassion. I hope that the rest of this week is great for you. I really do. And please know I'll be praying for you and you pray for us. As we wind down here, I want to remind you that we've got 3 busloads of Twin Cityans out at Washington for the march, and they've asked for our prayers today. And there's going to be a big storm out there. If you're listening on Saturday, it's in the middle of it. Sunday, you're here, you've heard about it. But our people are sticking, they're staying there for the march for life. Let's pray for them, shall we? Many of them have experienced anger, but they're doing something about it. Oh, yeah. They're doing something about it today. They are allowing virtue to control that anger, and they're bringing about a justice where there has been a great injustice in our culture, and that's called abortion. So praise God for those 3 busloads of young people and Providence Academy and Chesterton and all the other young people. We love them, and we're going to pray for them. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to let you know of all the great things. Paul Sadek's going to join me, and we're going to give you some great opportunities to get involved in the great Catholic Church here in the Twin Cities. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour.
If you're like most people, you're looking for the best care available for your family. As your loved ones experience the physical and emotional effects of aging, such as memory-related disorders, illness, or injury, Synergy Home Care can provide safety, comfort, dignity, and well-being. You'll have peace of mind knowing it's high-quality care your loved ones deserve while staying in their own home. Synergy Home Care can also provide transportation, household help, or personal care assistance after joint replacement or surgery. Their award-winning team of caregivers can be there to help at many levels of service, from just a few hours a week to round-the-clock care. Their personal assistants go a long way toward keeping people independent. For a free assessment in your home, call 651-964-3727. The goal at Synergy Home Care is to make your life easier and more fulfilling. Their exceptional team serves the entire Twin Cities area. They care for people of all ages and can begin helping you in just a few days if you call 651-964-3727. It's more than you need. It's safe here with me. It all starts the
moment you believe. Yeah. This is the Rediscover Hour. Paul, lots happening out in Washington with 3 busloads of people, but back home here there's shortage of things to do.
There's a lot of things going on. Sister Bridget Haass, Ursuline sister, author, speaker, and co-star of Spirit and Life on Relevant Radio will present at St. Timothy's Parish Mission in Blaine on the evenings of Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, January 24th, 25th, and 26th, 7 p.m. Theme of the mission is Gracious, Grateful, and Generous, Holiness in Everyday Life. Participants are invited to enjoy refreshments and visiting following each night's one-hour presentation. Rosary will be prayed at 6:30 each night in the church. Find out more. Call St. Timothy's Parish Office, 763-784-1329, or visit churchofsttimothy.com.
All young adults ages 18 to 39 are invited to come to the Theology on Tap series presented by the Cathedral of St. Paul Young Adults. Connect with others for an evening of food, fellowship, and faith. The series is held on Wednesday evenings until February 3rd at O'Gara's in St. Paul. Social hour is from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. and the speaker begins at 7:30. This Wednesday, January 27th, come hear me, Director of Evangelization. We'll be talking about living 100% of your life. For more information, visit www.cathedralstpaul.org/CYA.
St. Michael's St. Albert Catholic Church Youth Ministry will host their annual Winterfest event. This used to be known as the February Fun Fest, but it's in January this year, Saturday and Sunday, January 30th and 31st. All are welcome to attend. Food, games, and more begin at after 5 p.m. Mass on Saturday. For more information, visit stmcatholicchurch.org, stmcatholicchurch.org, or call the St. Michael Parish Office, 763-497-2745.
The Church of St. Charles Borromeo is hosting the 2016 Newly Married Retreat on Saturday, February 6th from 9 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. The retreat is for couples married 7 years or less. Keynote speaker is Bishop Andrew Cousins, who will be speaking on the primacy of marriage in our culture. Register by February 1st at archspm.org/NMR. The cost is $40 per couple and includes continental breakfast and catered lunch. For more information, call 651-291-4553.
St. Paul Calyx Society invites you to an addiction recovery mass and healing service at St. Paschal Baylen Church in St. Paul. Saturday, February 13th, Mass will begin at 10 a.m. with a chili lunch to follow. People of all faiths are welcome. For more information, email secretary@calyxsociety.org or call 1-800-398-0524.
St. Helena's Men's Breakfast will be held on Saturday, January 23rd at 8:30 a.m. in Rowan Hall. Guest speaker will be Deacon Dan Gannon of the St. Paul Seminary School of Divinity. The cost is $5 for the breakfast, and complimentary tickets are available for those having difficulty paying. Men are also invited to attend Mass at 8 a.m. in the church. Call for reservations at 612-729-7321. That's 612-729-7321.
And we have just enough time to find out what's up next week.
Next week, we're going to be talking about hope and how hope can become an anchor for your soul. Lots of opportunities for hope in the world, but Jesus gives us a hope that will not disappoint. And Luke Spihar will join us also next week, another great young talent in music. So that's what we're going to do next on the Rediscover Hour. Hope you join us.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com. Keyword, rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.